Mr. President, for giving the opportunity to introduce our next speaker. She is very hard to get hold of. Takes so long, you know. She has a great mind and she traveled all over the state of Hawaii giving advice to special ed teachers how to educate their blind students. And she's a very busy lady, and she does a lot of things, but actually she's a local girl. She got her high school graduation here, and then bachelor here, and then she graduated from Portland State University in education, specializing in visual impairment. And Lisa, are you here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And you know, she has one secret guilty pleasure. I she whispered in my ear, but maybe you want me to say it or you want to say it yourself?
You can say it.
She said, "Any dark chocolate is mine." Everybody, give a big applause to Lisa Gray.
That was dramatic.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for inviting me to talk today. A couple of days ago, after playing a little phone tag, I was able to talk with Cam, and he started asking about my background and what made me the teacher that I am and what I became. And I blame it sometimes on Amy back there because she's the one who made me go back to school. But that's okay. But it got me reflecting on my philosophy when it comes to my kids, or as you other people will call them, my students, and working with them over the years. And my philosophy is, don't feel sorry for them just because of their disability. Accept them for who they are. I learned about them, I then encouraged them to be all that they can be. A quote that betrayed my philosophy is found in an article on the Wonder Baby website. It was written by a parent of an incredible child, and it's entitled, "Please don't feel sorry for me or my special needs child." If that title doesn't say it all, I want you to listen to this parent's perspective. Ivan is disabled. That's just a fact of life. He's blind. He has global, physical, and cognitive delays. But that's not what I see when I look at him. I see a vibrant and happy child. He enjoys his life and loves his family. So I want to be clear. I don't want my friends or family to feel sorry for me or for my child. I don't want, and I'm not saying this just to be tough. You know, I can handle this, so you don't have to worry kind of way. And it's not to be dismissive. We don't need your pity, kind of way. I'm saying this because when others feel sorry for us, it hurts. It's painful to hear that our lives are so terrible that we deserve pity. I'm absolutely bursting with pride and love for my son. So imagine what it feels like when a friend or family member looks at him and says, "Oh, that's so sad. I'm so sorry." What happens to all my happiness and pride? It's gone. It's wiped out. Because I'm forced, even for just a little moment, to look at my child in a new way, through the eyes of somebody who sees him and thinks, tragedy. Why in the world would someone say this to any parent? If they said I'm sorry for a typically developing child, that would be considered rude. But if a child has a disability, if they are blind, this little statement is just a way for them to fill that uncomfortable space created by a disability when people just don't know what else to say. Well, here's a hint. We don't have to talk about disability like it's the end of the world, because it ain't. We certainly shouldn't place fear, shame, and pity on the parent who's focusing tirelessly on raising their child to be the best person they can be. Disability comes in many forms, some more obvious than others, but the one thing that is constant is a parent's intense love and pride for the child, no matter what, and never underestimate that love. A simple, "I'm sorry," goes a long way to unwind my head. I know so many kids who are fighting multiple challenges, and by doing so, with just joy and love. Their lives are rich and full of purpose. They do not make me sad, and I don't feel sorry for them. So let me tell you a little bit about some of our friends. You may see a blind child listening to the birds of the park that you'll never be able to see. I see a child because you can see it, to fully appreciate the beauty around them. You may see a child using a stick to get around because she can't see where she's going. I see a child ready to become a confident and independent traveler with their white cane. You may see a child who is nonverbal and unable to speak. I see a child using a switch or an augmentative communication device to communicate with her family and friends. You may see a child in a wheelchair who can't walk on his own. I see a happy child clapping his hands and stomping his feet because he just wants to be pushed faster. These kids don't make me sad. I'm not sorry for them or their families because I know that they are finding happiness despite their struggles. Now, teachers of the visually impaired in the state of Hawaii are serving in the capacity to encourage their students to become those confident individuals that bring happiness in their world, and HAB has generously been helping in this endeavor. HAB is helping to support the over 200 students in Hawaii that have a visual disability through monitoring support for, and this is a list of everything that I've gotten from the teachers. You guys helped create goodie bags at Christmas time to include gifts that are appropriate for elementary school students with visual disabilities. Middle and high school students were able to have a day where they made popcorn treats, ice cream floats, and learned how to wrap presents. For some, that was a first. They also learned how to use voiceover to create playlists, which was taught by one of their own peers. We were able to purchase magnifiers, monoculars, white canes, talking calculators, and task maps. And believe it or not, just using your money is so much faster than having to write a purchase order, which can take months. We can now get it into their hands within weeks, which is better. We were able to update iPads and accessories. One teacher bought pop-up tents to be used to help to dim a small portion of our classroom for a student with a cortical visual impairment, then put a backlight to help the student focus. We were able to purchase stands for tablets that could be fastened to wheelchairs and position that tablet for better viewing. For a new student entering the DOE as a senior after being in private school and never having orientation mobility before, it paid for her to set up her paratransit. It gave her opportunities to go and make purchases. Now she was a senior, so guess what? It also gave her the confidence that led her to get her first guide dog this past summer, and she has a job at a local hotel. On the Big Island, the teachers there help purchase supplies to do a class for teachers and parents on how to make tactile books for our little preschoolers. And lastly, any skill that we can teach has very little meaning when you practice in a pretend store. Getting them to figure out what they want, plan their trip, then go ahead and travel the route in which they created to get to the place where they can get their favorite smoothie. Now that is how you teach a lesson. And that's all paid by all of you. Now, we do have two vacancies in the state of Hawaii, one in Honolulu District because I took the state position, and one on the Big Island because it's really hard to travel from one side to the other. So they do have a vacancy there. And we do have three teachers going through a program in Portland State University. And we are so hoping that they take those positions. And if you want to know, they're in the room, and you get to meet them, don't approach it that way. So all in all, on behalf of the teachers of the visually impaired, I would like to say thank you for all your support over the years, and it makes our job just a little bit easier. Thank you.